Welcome to this special 9/11 anniversary edition of New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. I just hope that he doesn't say a single word because most of us will be very upset. We have got that story plus lifting Al-Qaeda sanctions, but first on this 9/11 plus 25 episode, trial date set for alleged 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, a story, James, I feel like we've been covering in the 15 plus years of this show. Alleged 9/11 terror attack mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, KSM, will stand trial in June 2028, more than a quarter of a century after what the U.S. government has called the most egregious act, criminal act, on American soil in modern history, right after the creation of the Federal Reserve. A military judge ruled the trial would start in 2 years because the 2027 date was too soon. Too emotional. Mohammed had reached a plea deal where he would admit guilt in exchange for avoiding a death penalty trial, but a federal appeals court threw out that agreement last summer. Arrested in 2003, he has been held and tortured at Guantanamo Bay since September 2006. And in that torture, Mohammed had said previously he planned 2001's 9/11 operation from A to Z, as the favorite refrain goes. U.S. Air Force Judge Lieutenant Colonel Michael A. Schramma ruled that the trial for Mohammed and three co-accused would start on 5 June 2028. Alleged accomplices Walid bin Attash, Ali Abdul Aziz Ali, and Mustafa al-Hassawi were listed in the court document. The start date allowed for additional time to deal with matters of the court, such as resolving any disputes about what evidence can be presented, the judge wrote. So this coming Friday will mark 25 years since hijackers flew planes into the World Trade Center in New York City and the Pentagon in Virginia, and another flight crashed in a field in Pennsylvania, as legend has it. About 3,000 people died in the attack, far less than the 10,000 dying of cancer from the dust the EPA said was safe to breathe. Mohammed is accused of conceiving the idea of training pilots to fly commercial planes into buildings and taking those plans to Osama bin Laden, leader of Al-Qaeda. Mohammed, a U.S.-educated engineer, was captured along with al-Hassawi in Pakistan in March 2003. The rejected plea deal, which would have given Mohammed a life sentence without possibility of parole, was reached after 2 years of negotiations and signed by an official appointed by then-Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. Austin was reportedly caught by surprise and immediately attempted to revoke it, but then got prostate cancer from too many MAGA jabs. The military prison in Guantanamo Bay opened 6 months after the attack, and because Obama only continued Bush's war of terror and Trump makes it worse, about 15 prisoners are still detained there. James, I can't help but think now of the craziness here in the States with our trials. Maybe the Lindsey Clancy, Luigi Mangione juries can get in there and do the job. Good grief. How long have they been dragging this out, man?
Hey, why not throw in Alan, I kept my underpants on, Dershowitz on the legal defense team, and we can really, really have a great trial. Yeah, exactly. This is the never-ending 9/11 judicial theater that has been going on for a long time. And as you say, we've been covering the twists and turns in this for years now. Most recently, last year, on our 9/11 anniversary episode, specifically New World Next Week number 603 on Media Monarchy Turns 20, we covered the plea deal being thrown out. So there you go. Yes, just another twist and turn in this decades-long saga. But don't worry, guys, 2028, put it on your calendar. The trial's really going to happen. But also this from New York Post just last week. Judge axes Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's confession in long-delayed 9/11 terror case in major blow to feds, which notes that a military judge on Friday threw out a key confession made by the self-proclaimed mastermind of the 9/11 attacks in a major blow to the feds that could derail the already long-delayed case. And so they're talking about his 2007 statements to the FBI, which the judge ruled the FBI could not prove that he was not under severe coercion from FBI agents in the extraction of that testimony. So yes, surprise, surprise, the tortured testimony of KSM, mastermind of 9/11 from A to Z, is completely inadmissible in court. They can't do anything resembling a real trial here, obviously. And for people who don't know, we've talked about this many times, but let's put it on the record again. For example, Wait, here's a blast from the past from 2007. KSM confessed to targeting a bank founded after his arrest, the Plaza Bank, Washington State, which did not exist when he was arrested. It was built after that, but he confessed to plotting to blow it up. Yeah, sure, I believe that. Also this, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was waterboarded 183 times in 1 month. Yes, in March of 2003. And the headline says 183 times. Of course, the actual 183 times in March 2003. It was also 83 times in August of 2002. So anyway, add it up. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed absolutely cannot. You cannot take any of his torture testimony at face value. And oh, what was the other part of that? Oh, right. After February 29th or March 1st, 2003, interrogators threatened to kill KSM's children. Yeah, but you can believe anything he said after that. Sure, absolutely. That coming, of course, from the invaluable complete 9/11 timeline that was revivified by the International Center for 9/11 Justice. So I will put in the link and people can follow that to the incredibly important complete 9/11 timeline. But yes, long story short, KSM is total. Listening to absolutely anything extracted from these torture testimony is, of course, total nonsense. As we know, torture is designed to get the torturee to say whatever the torturer wants them to say. And in that case, well, okay, mission accomplished. He's the mastermind from A to Z, but they still can't do it in a court of law. And I am just going to, I don't know, I'm going to make that bet. I don't think this trial is going to happen in 2028 either.
Put it on your calendars. Yeah, let's place our bets now. James, it reminds me, I don't know if I've already made reference to this on New World Next Week already. They had the mastermind of the Tupac Shakur murder on trial. He's guilty, man, after 30 years. I find that about as plausible as this. Hey, but maybe this is all about the Stargate and the Iraq War, and KSM has time traveled, and that's how he knew about the Plaza Bank that was going to get built and stuff. I know that's what it is. Theater. You could... It's correctly called theater. We can't even friggin' watch any of it. We just hear about these guys, again, that have been in a hole for 20 years and about how in this, you know, nation built on morals and laws, can't figure out how to legally try this guy because it's all completely illegal and off the chain. I don't want to diminish 9/11 in 25 years, James, here on this episode. But man, we've been at this for so long now that even talking about it, we have to kind of look at it sometimes with a little bit of tongue in cheek to be able to continue, I would say, to do this work now with our combined 40 plus years nearly. Our second story on this 9/11 plus 25 New World Next Week episode, Trump lifts sanctions on top Al-Qaeda recruiters and financiers days before 9/11 anniversary. Trust the plan, you guys. As the U.S. prepares to mark 25 years since September 11, 2001, President Donald Trump has removed top Al-Qaeda figures from the U.S. list of designated terrorists. Among those he delisted was Abdullah Muhassini, a Saudi cleric who recruited child fighters and teen suicide bombers to wreak havoc across Syria. That seems important. Let's elaborate on that. The administration of President Donald Trump has removed the names of some of the world's most notorious commanders, recruiters, and financiers from the Syrian branch of Al-Qaeda from its list of specially designated terrorists. Among those relieved of U.S. sanctions this August was Abdullah Muhassini, a Salafi jihadi cleric from Saudi Arabia, who participated in the videotaped massacres of captured soldiers and recruited droves of foreign youth to carry out suicide bombings throughout Syria over the past decade. The delisting of the jihadist recruiters came as part of the Trump administration's removal of the government of Syrian President Ahmad al-Sharia as a state sponsor of terrorists, capitalized. These actions represent another historic step by President Trump to give the Syrian people a path to prosperity. Your possible future president, current Secretary of State Marco Rubio, declared back on August 24th, 2026. I mean, I'm sure Israel has got a good reason for doing this, James, and who are we to question it?
Who are we indeed? Well, here we go, guys. Al-Qaeda mission accomplished, right? Or is that Al-Qaeda mission accomplished? Yes, this is, of course, what this was all about the entire time. Al-Qaeda was a convenient intelligence agency cutout that was designed to be used as a chess as a pawn on the chessboard, either on the black team or the white team. Who cares? Whatever. Just paint it over whenever you need a fresh enemy or a fresh friend in whatever region, whatever square of the chessboard you're looking to occupy. And I've been through this many, many times, most extensively in my 5.5-hour documentary on False Flags, The Secret History of Al-Qaeda, available at corporatereport.com/Al-Qaeda, also available at the New World Next Week store. And I would hope people have seen that and drilled that into their brains, where, yes, Al-Qaeda, this horrible, dastardly terrorist organization that was led by our golden boy in Afghanistan, the warrior on the road to peace from the Afghanistan days, who became the arch boogeyman, Osama bin Laden. Oh my God, now he's this arch terror mastermind who's leading this dastardly ring of terrorists and commits a spectacular terrorist attack and somehow escapes the biggest dragnet in the history of the world for a decade. And ends up in Pakistan. What? And then we threw his body in a river. Don't think about it. Anyway, now Al-Qaeda are the... are they the bad guys in Syria? Actually, maybe they're the good guys in Syria. Okay, whatever. Guys, just calm down. Who cares? Just go with it. So anyway, of course, we know about 2012, Ed Hussein's CFR piece, Al-Qaeda's Spectre in Syria, talking about the Syrian rebels would be immeasurably weaker today without Al-Qaeda in their ranks. Therefore, guys, 2014, another CFR piece, The Good and Bad of Ahrar al-Sham, an Al-Qaeda-linked group worth befriending. The 2015 infamous foreign affairs piece, Accepting Al-Qaeda, the Enemy of the United States. Enemy. So they're the enemy of the enemy. That means we got to work with them, guys. Just relax. Who cares? Al-Qaeda, al-Shmaida, whatever. Just get over it, guys. Anyway, lift sanctions, of course, whatever. Of course, the real point of all of this is that Al-Qaeda did not perpetrate 9/11. Al-Qaeda did not destroy three buildings with two planes on September 11, 2001. Al-Qaeda did not schedule those events to take place in the midst of an absolute forest of simulations and war games and other things that were taking place on that day to distract the air defenses. Al-Qaeda did not run the cover-up that has completely and utterly obfuscated everything. No, that was Philip Zelikow running the 9/11 Commission and writing the complete report, including chapter headings and subheadings and sub-subheadings before the commission even met a single time. That is where we understand the perpetrators of 9/11, not Al-Qaeda. So anyway, this is, in a sense, all theater, but it just goes to show exactly what Al-Qaeda has been from the beginning. It is an intelligence agency cut out to be used, abused, befriended, enemied, whatever, as need be.
James, is that the 9/11 commission where people like Max Cleland resigned and called it a disgrace and underfunded sham? Grief. I mean, yeah. How could Osama get away all this time? He must have. I wonder if he had that like promise software that he got from like Epstein and Ghislaine's crew, maybe. That might have helped a lot. Trump plans to mark 9/11 at the Pentagon and not Ground Zero in a change of, you know, again, what they want you to believe is some sacrosanct thing. He's going to be at the Pentagon instead of Ground Zero. I hope a missile doesn't hit it again. So, but they're still playing with this, our last segment that we're moving into here. It feels like they're still playing the Muslim boogeyman Al-Qaeda thing to the hilt for all it's worth. And all the players that you would think, oh, they're going to be against this, and Trump said blah, 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 blah. They're all still playing. It's almost like Civil War reenactors. They're doing the same thing they've been doing for 25 years. Most of us will be very upset. Many 9/11 families not too thrilled about Mamdani attendance at memorial ceremony. Too long didn't read. The socialist mayor of New York City, of course, is going to be at the 9/11 stuff. Any elected official in the state of New York is going to be at the 9/11 stuff. These would be also the 9/11 families that took the payoff to not ask questions or sue about 9/11. Relatives of September 11th victims say they will turn away from Mayor Zoran Mamdani if he attends this year's memorial at Ground Zero. More than 98,000 people have signed a petition asking organizers to keep Democratic Socialists away from the 25th anniversary ceremony. The New York Post reported again everything we say, all the accusations, all the 9/11 bullet points and brackets, all linked up in your show notes. And James, hopefully we're putting in enough references that people go, Max Cleland, I don't know who that is. Go look him up and you'll find non-conspiracy theory. Backers plan to carry this to City Hall on September 8th. James, that's just about your time right now. The 2001 attacks killed 2,977 people, among them 658 employees of Cantor Fitzgerald, where Howard Lutnick just happened to not be at work that day. See, again, to me, 9/11 is the only socio-political cause that helps all the other socio-political causes. The blank check of 9/11. Everything that's happened these last 25 years, all predicated on this official conspiracy theory of 9/11. Mom Damia said he intends to show up and honor the dead, which is what troubles the families, which sounds like a stupid sentence. I'm mad he's going to honor the dead. Maureen Santora, 81, whose firefighter son Christopher died at 23 with engine 54 in the South Tower, wants him to keep quiet. I just hope that he doesn't say a single word because most of us will be very upset, she said. Others see silence as their form of protest. Angie Peach, whose brother Danny killed in the North Tower, said he'll show up to be spiteful. Is he talking about the mayor or talking about himself? Petition organizer Giovanni Galanti, whose wife Grace died in the attacks, put it plainly, I would definitely ignore him. Jeanette Puccio-Pick, who lost her father on the 94th floor of the South Tower, says her focus stays on him, not the mayor. The pushback extends beyond the ceremony. Galante and Queens Republican Councilwoman Joanne Areola will hold a press conference at City Hall this week. Areola dismissed the mayor's recent executive orders on remembrance as hollow, citing his retention of Chief Counsel Ramzi Kassim and his refusal to disavow people like Hassan Piker, whoever that is. Retired Port Authority police also weigh in, with Association President John McDevitt sending letters on August 14th urging Mom Dami to stay home. Not every family agrees. Elizabeth Miller, whose father died in the attacks, defended the mayor's place at the ceremony in remarks to CBS New York, and her group, September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows, condemned what it called Islamophobic attacks on him. And of course, James, there's a lot of people mad for the reveal at the very end of this article. Sound and fury signifying nothing. The National September 11th Memorial Museum keeps the event free of politics, and attending officials give no remarks, as you might have noticed if you ever paid attention to anything the previous 24 years. Giuliani, talking to Newsmax, Mom Dami at 9/11 ceremony offends me. Well, I would say, Rudy, that Operation Tripod 2 offends me. Mom Dami to attend 9/11 ceremony despite Giuliani criticism. And the real interesting one, Mom Dami hands symbolic 9/11 pen to lawyer who once represented Al-Qaeda terrorist. And I guess, James, I mean, whew, New Yorkers are going to have to vote harder next time. New York Governor Kathy Hochul sparks outrage after wearing hijab ahead of 25th anniversary of 9/11. And I would just joke that if she wanted to honor 9/11, she would have put on a yarmulke. Ba-da-ba. Finally, in this segment of, I don't really care about the truth, I just don't really like the way you're talking about it, FBI director blasts CBC's editorial choice not to call 9/11 a terrorist attack. And then a few moments later, Republicans boot CBC from their upcoming Dallas convention over 9/11 terrorism controversy. And James, I didn't have time to see what the CBC said. What did they say? Some people did something?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So apparently some editorial guidance, the internal guidance, two journalists leaked from the CBC. And apparently they're saying, don't say terrorism. Don't talk about terror attacks. No, it was airplane hijackings and crashes. And don't attribute any particular terrorism to that. Well, I guess CBC has discovered 9/11 truth and they understand. No, this isn't terrorism. This is false flag terror. No, I don't think that that's what the case is here. But no, it's conveniently timed outrage for the 9/11 anniversary 2-minute hate season, isn't it? And this is exactly what we have been covering year in and year out for however long we've been doing a New World Next Week now. Every 9/11 anniversary, every single year, there's some sort of stories exactly like these ones. Of course, we've seen the KSM twists and turns and plea deals being thrown out and everything. And it always happens at the end of August, early September, for some reason. Or the Ground Zero Mosque. Remember that controversy and people burning Korans around Ground Zero? We covered that, whatever it was, a decade and a half ago. We've covered every iteration of this outrage. It's the never-ending Groundhog Day that takes place around the 9/11 anniversary events in order to get people just ginned up into the culture war of left and right. And it's those filthy Muslims, I tell you, they're the ones that did 9/11, just to drill it into people's heads. They don't even remember what they're arguing about anymore or what this was really about. They just know I have to hate these people. And unfortunately, it seems to work, because I think a lot of the population has now thoroughly forgotten anything to do with 9/11. So we are living out the 9/11 anniversary Groundhog Day here. But maybe there is something new that's taking place this year, specifically the Turning the Tide 9/11 conference that's going to be taking place in New York City from September 10th to September 12th. 13th? Anyway, 4 days in New York City. People can find the details at turningtheside911.org. And of course, I will be making a short Zoom presentation there, but there will be many, 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 many in-person actual speakers there in New York City. You can either go see it live or you can go online, and there will be the theatrical premiere of the new Responders documentary. There will be talk about the new report, the 1,000-page report that's being worked on by IC911.org and others. And there's going to be more information about the Matt Campbell inquest and things that are happening on that front. There's a lot of 9/11 truth movement related news that is taking place that shows that there are now, because of COVID and all the other craziness of the last several years, more and more and more and more people are starting to question their received reality. That's a good thing. Let's push that forward. 9/11 was not committed by scary Muslim bearded boogeymen with box cutters, directed by a man on dialysis in a cave halfway around the world. No, it was the work of intelligence agencies, deep state officials, corporate and government officials, cutouts of various sorts, working for the deep state. We are going to continue pushing that truth forward. And let's hope we won't be sitting here on the 50th anniversary talking about yet again the same cycle of outrage and ginned up non-controversies that happen every year around this time.
Well, they'll have at least one, if not two, earth-shattering more events that'll roll out. And I was going to say, like JFK, those researchers didn't have the blessing that we did after 9/11 to get online and start talking to people all around the world and sharing and collating information. JFK truth took a long time to get rolling. And maybe that's, a real positive that the younger people coming up, when they go back in time, just like I did when I got activated by what I wondered about 9/11, it took me back to JFK, so now people activated by COVID maybe go back to 9/11, and hopefully that's the positive of how we keep learning our way forward, as our buddy Richard Grove would say. And yeah, man, they haven't gotten maybe this much Muslim hate mileage since the mosque at Ground Zero story. That was, that was 2010, I believe. I will include the link to Portland Group Burns 9/11 Commission report, as we did as a publicity stunt back in Portland, myself and Clyde Lewis, and got the local news to come out and cover us. We are in their 9/11 anniversary package. They put together all the headlines and all the bits for the 6 o'clock news. That is a special New World Next Week, episode 643. And I will remind you, in addition to not only False Flags DVDs at newworldnextweek.com, but 9/11 Trillions, 9/11 War Games, those are moving on the store today, James. No exclusive audio this week, as I'm going to go take a flight on United Airlines for the 9/11 anniversary. I am going to visit family in West Virginia. I'll be leaving New America here in the Southwest for a little while. And really, James, by the time we're back on air with New World Next Week, I can predict something that's going to happen, and it's going to be the current sitting president renewing this BS emergency declaration that we've been living under for 25 years since 9/11. Bush kept signing it. Obama kept signing it. Trump signed it. Biden signed it. Now Trump's going to sign it again. James, that's the one thing I can guarantee will have happened by the next time we talk, man.
I'll happily eat my hat if it doesn't happen. But yes, we'll put it on the record and we'll put it in the show notes next New World next week, just to make sure everyone understands. But yes, for people who don't know, look through all of our previous 9/11 coverage all over the years, every single year, whichever puppet is sitting in the Oval Office will sign the emergency extension, because we are still living in the legally declared emergency of 9/11. Anyway, on that note, I hope people will take advantage of the store and those DVDs. I think there's a lot of good information and they're good for disseminating to other people. So I hope people keep that in mind. And hats off to you for that 9/11 Commission Report coverage. Please do throw that in the show notes. I hope people will take a look at it. That was a brilliant piece of activism, which is these days sorely lacking. I don't see a lot of that kind of real world activism that are out there on the streets making that kind of difference. So hats off to that. And well, let's just keep going forward. Again, we'll be here decades from now, but hopefully not talking about the same outrage stories. Anyway, all of the notes will be in the show notes, as always, everything we talk about, so people can take advantage of that. And James, happy travels, safe travels, and good luck.
Thanks so much, buddy. Take care.